G'day, I'm Pete Dillon. Let's chat. Let's Chat is a space where you and I get to talk to some really fabulous people. Let's chat to Wayne Swan.
The Honourable Wayne Swan is the member for Lilly in Brisbane. He is a Nambour boy, born and bred, went to school in Nambour and has since been the Treasurer of Australia and its Deputy Prime Minister. But a life in politics is never one without colour. And I wanted to talk to Wayne Swan about what that career has been like, working with a variety of Prime Ministers, and whether he, in fact, achieved what he set out to do in the very first stage. Wayne Swan, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining me. I wanted to go on a bit of a rambling journey with you, if I might, and we'll incorporate some music into the discussion because I think we've got a couple of tracks that you might enjoy. You announced on the 10th of February you were stepping down as the member for the seat of Lilly. What prompted the decision?
Well, I'm not stepping down. I've just announced I'm not running again.
Not running again. I beg your pardon.
I won't be running at the next election, but if the next election is in 12 months' time, then that's when I'll cease to be the member for Lilly. So I'm not getting out, and I intend to continue to work in my local area like I've always worked in my local area. It's just that I won't be running again, and I made that announcement because it gives the party plenty of time to select an alternative candidate who can get out and about as the party's candidate in the next federal election.
Let's start with a bit of a history lesson for those that don't know your career. First elected to the seat of Lilly in 1993, but prior to that you were a staffer, I understand, for Bill Hayden, first of all.
Well, prior to that, I was actually the State Secretary of the ALP.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to going to work in the party office, I was actually an academic at QUT for a dozen or so years. And at various stages during that period, I went on secondment to work for people like Bill Hayden and Mick Young. So my first career was as an academic after I graduated at what was known as QIT when I first went there, and then it became QUT. And during that period, I got to know, you know, people like Gough Whitlam, Bill Hayden, Mick Young, and many of the greats of the Labor movement from that era.
You mentioned the Labor movement and those greats. You're really wedded to the Labor movement and really wedded to equality in so many ways. And you've made some comments recently in the last 6 months or so around where Australia's sitting on a global stage and the influence of the uber wealthy, I guess, for want of a better term, in Australia. Where does that come from, Wayne?
Well, it sort of comes a bit from my upbringing. I mean, I didn't know anyone in politics when I was growing up. My dad was certainly a Labor voter, but not a Labor Party member. My mum's family were country party. My mum's family were cane farmers from Bligh Bligh,
mm-hmm.
and small croppers, and my mum grew up on a cane farm. My dad had been a mechanic at Swan's Garage in Howard Street, Nambour, which was owned by his brothers. Basically, he had a view of the world that essentially the large corporations never did too many favours for working people like him, and I certainly think I inherited that view of the world, that working people are of fundamental importance in an economy and in a society. And if we don't have the rules of the road right in our economy, then their legitimate aspirations and hard work are not necessarily fairly rewarded. And in many ways, that tends to be the case today. So I'm a member of the Labor Party because I believe that we create prosperity in order to spread opportunity. And what's disappointing in the global arrangements we see today is the rampant wealth and income inequality in the developed world is denying working people in many countries across the developed world their legitimate rights, aspirations and rewards.
What drew you to politics? First of all, you were an academic. What steered you towards a life in what has been an exemplary life in public service?
Well, I joined the Labor Party in 1974 at the height of the double dissolution, the Liberals were then trying to, by any means, destroy Prime Minister Whitlam, who had a very ambitious reform agenda when it came to education and health. You know, he first put forward Medicare, which was then put in place by Bill Hayden, or Medibank as it was then known. They had the proposal for, you know, free tertiary education. Many of the most big fundamental reforms of the early 1970s were bitterly opposed by people like Malcolm Fraser. and they did everything they could to destroy them. And it was in that period that I joined the Labor Party. As I said, when I first came to live in Brisbane after I left Nambour High, I didn't know anyone in politics. I met people in Brisbane. I joined the Labor Party and started to get politically active as a result of what I regarded as the destructive behaviour of the Conservatives in Australia against working people.
Wayne Swan is my guest. He's the former Treasurer. He is the member for Lilly, not standing at the next election, making that announcement now so he can probably, I'm assuming, assist somebody into the seat and provide them with an easy transition. Wayne Swan, do we have enough women in politics, and do we treat them differently because they're women?
No, we don't have enough women in politics, but the Labor Party's done something about that, and through affirmative action. We've almost got to the point where 50% of our caucus is female. The lack of women now stands out dramatically when you look at the Conservative side of politics. We've still got a lot further to go, but we've had Australia's first female Prime Minister in Julia Gillard, who I was privileged to be the Deputy Prime Minister for. And women have still got a long way to go in politics, but in the Labor Party, they're encouraged, they're mentored, and they're successful.
If Julia Gillard was the leader of the Labor Party now, would it be a very different environment in which she would be elected compared to the what was quite hostile and some may say toxic environment that she was elected into because of her her gender?
Yeah, well, it's interesting to see the other day that Tony Abbott was coming out and saying that we should have less smear in politics. Well, the smears that Tony Abbott and the Liberals put on Julia Gillard were just horrible.
They were horrific.
And the point that she made when she ceased to be Prime Minister was that she hoped, and I think there's probably some reason for this, that for the next person that came through, they wouldn't be subject to the sort of smear that Tony Abbott and the Liberals used against her.
I want to come to a little later in this discussion when the great achievements of your political life, and I don't know if there may be even regrets of your political life, but is there too much personality politics being played and not enough policy politics being played?
Well, I think people are talking about the personalities, but it's the same horse, different jockey. There's effectively no difference between Mr. Abbott and Mr. Turnbull when it comes to the fundamental radical right trickle-down economic policies of the Conservatives in Australia. And in fact, you can mount the case that Malcolm Turnbull has been much more extreme than Mr. Abbott with his $65 billion unfunded corporate tax cut. So, in some ways, a lot of the commentary about personalities is obscuring what is I regard as a very hard right-wing agenda of the Liberals and the Nationals. One that they don't fess up to when they wander around the electorates. The Nationals wander around regional Queensland and places just north of Noosa claiming that they're the great defenders of small business and the Aussie battler, when they got a set of trickle-down economics which smash the economic aspirations of those sorts of people who they represent in the National Parliament. They wouldn't have signed up to a $65 billion unfunded tax cut if they were out there defending battlers and small businesses.
Wayne Swan is my guest. He's the member for Lilly, the former Treasurer and former Deputy Prime Minister. We're going on a bit of a rambling chat this morning about his life in politics, and we're going to pop in one of the two songs that you've chosen for our discussion. The first is Bruce Springsteen's Born to Run. Why is this particular track important to you?
Well, it was formative. It was a track when I was forming, if you like, my political orientation and so on in the early 70s. And from memory, it's sort of 74, 75. But I've remained a lifelong fan of Springsteen and all of his albums. But it's just basically one that it sort of summed up that mood of change, which he was singing about in the US and about the fate of basically working Americans at that time who were being buttressed by globalisation and losing out in their economic system.
Today!
my guest, Wayne Swan. He's the federal member for Lilly, not standing at the next election, and has been Australia's Deputy Prime Minister and Australia's Treasurer. I wonder if there is, if that message is still poignant today. If we look at what's happening globally with the likes of the Mango Mussolini, as he's been referred to, Donald Trump, is the world in a bit of chaos with some of the world leaders that are being chosen? Donald Trump saying that Li Jinping should be a president for life and he might give it a go, or America should give it a shot. Is egomania taking over politics?
Well, I think economics is driving it. Mm. Basically, many people across the developed world have had reduced living standards for 30 years, particularly in the United States, where the rich have got richer, the middle class has been hollowed out, and great armies of working poor have been created. And what that's produced is extreme political polarisation. And at the moment, those on the right of politics are winning the political battles that are coming out of that polarisation. So, you know, people are responding to the fact that their aspirations for a better life are not being matched by what's happening with their living standards, particularly in the American economy. So that's what we're living with, and that's producing unprecedented fractionalization, if you like, in politics, not just in the United States, but in countries like Italy, in countries like Britain with Brexit. We're seeing it around the world.
Wayne, you talked about economics, and I think there's probably a nice lead-in discussion to looking back on your career in politics, which has spanned now 25 years or more. Has there been a highlight or a series of highlights that you will look back on and sort of say that is something of which I'm most proud? And I guess where that leads me to is your performance as Treasurer during what was a global financial meltdown. Can you pick one or two areas of your career that were outstanding, or do you think it's all been part of the same commitment to good?
You have ups and downs in politics. Mm. You have plenty of both. But for me, the thing I'm most proud of is how we responded to the global financial crisis, or as it's known overseas, the Great Recession, because with our actions in the dark days of the end of 2008 and early 2009, which stopped Australia going into a fully-fledged recession. And that saved the jobs and livelihoods of hundreds of thousands of workers and tens of thousands of small businesses. And it's unquestioned, although the Conservatives continually try to delegitimise our achievements, that it was our policies, which were evaluated by the economic organisations around the world as the best in the world at that time to respond to that economic threat. The dysfunction you're seeing in America is a function of the fact that they didn't effectively deal with the crisis as they could have, and had high and prolonged levels of unemployment for a long time. We didn't experience that skill and capital destruction in this country. So I'm enormously proud of what we did together as a government, all of us working together to avoid that. And I regard that as one of the most important things that I've done in my life and in politics.
What are some of those other achievements that you can look back on and be so proud of?
Oh, well, around that, other things we did in government. Single biggest increase in the age pension in our history to get single pensioners out of poverty. The tripling of the tax-free threshold, an enormously beneficial measure for casual and low-income workers. The first paid parental scheme in Australian history, just to name a few. Our emissions trading systems, which were world-leading, and their abolition has now caused a power price surge. We stuck by our guns on dealing with climate change. We stuck by our guns when it came to dealing with inequality and poverty, and we stuck to our guns when we were under fire from the Liberals and Nationals for taking actions through government to stop a recession. So I'm proud of all those things that we did.
If we were to look back again and try and determine if there's any great regret or something that you wanted to achieve that you may not have got to, there one particular thing?
Well, I regret that the emissions trading scheme, which would have solved and have solved by now the problems we're seeing in the power system in terms of supply and price, wasn't sustainable and was annihilated by the incoming Liberal government. We're living with all of that in terms of price impacts for average Australians, but we're also living with the fact that they considerably slowed the development of renewable energy, and our emissions have been higher than they otherwise should have been.
And that's, of course, had long and ongoing result.
Yep.
You were voted at one point by Euromoney as the Finance Minister of the Year back in 2011, and there's a story around this next track that sort of talks to that for me around And the track is Jimi Hendrix All Along the Watchtower. And there's a story about this particular night. You were, I think, following the meeting with President Bush back in October 2008. Tell us that story before we move to that track.
Well, it was the height of the global crisis, and I was in Washington, and I'd been at an IMF meeting that day, and then that day finished with a meeting with President Bush, with finance ministers talking with him about how he needed to respond to the crisis. That night I went back to the embassy residence in the outer suburbs of Washington, and I had to plug into a cabinet meeting which was happening Sunday Australian time, mm-hmm. It was Saturday night US time, to talk about and approve our first stimulus package as well as our guarantees for bank funding. And I was in the embassy residence, and for some reason the technical people could only connect a secure phone line from the basement bedroom of a teenage son of the resident of the house. And as I was on the phone into the cabinet meeting in Canberra, I looked up at the wall and saw this Jimi Hendrix poster. So as I was briefing the cabinet about my meeting with Bush and what I'd heard at the IMF that day, I was looking at this, sitting on the bed looking at this Jimi Hendrix poster. And I was a fan of Jimi Hendrix, and I have a lot of rock and roll, some of it old, some of it contemporary. And I couldn't get out of my head as I was doing the briefing, Jimi Hendrix's version of Bob Dylan's All Along the Watchtower.
And there's a particular couple of lines in there that I think resonate.
Yes, well, I can't find my way out of here.
Yeah, send the Joker to the thief.
There's too much confusion.
Yeah.
the Joker to the thief. And on it goes. Oh, I think the Jimi Hendrix version is the best, but, you know, I'm a very big Dylan fan.
We'll return to check in with Wayne Swan for a little longer after this.
There must be some kind of way out of here. Say the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessman there, drink my wine. Plowman, dig my earth. None will let.
Wayne, it's probably been a tumultuous 25-plus years in politics, and I want to step away from politics in a minute and look to the future to gaze into your crystal ball. There's been some speculation that the presidency of the federal ALP might be on the cards. Have you made any decisions around what may happen in the next few years for Wayne Swan, the citizen, rather than Wayne Swan, the politician?
No, I haven't really. I'm still concentrating on being a member for Lilly. Now that I'm no longer a front bencher and I'm a back bencher, I've got a bit more time for personal reflection. I'm spending a bit more time surfing the beaches up your way, and I'm doing a lot more exercise, trying to stay fit. I do regret that I never really had the time, particularly when I was a minister, to really get out and exercise more and think more away from the very busy life that you lead, and I'm doing a lot more of that now.
How important were those roots that were set down for you in Nambour as a kid, born in Nambour, schooled in Nambour? How important is this region to you as a place that you can come back to?
I still come back. It's very important. I spend a fair bit of time up there, and my brothers and sisters are all still live there. I still catch up with people I went to school with, and I go surfing with them. So it's a good way and a good place to stay grounded, and there's nothing better than standing there at the beach at Ruchador, looking over and up the coast to Old Woman Island and all the way up. And I don't go to Noosa very often because you can never get in there anymore, which is a shame. I regard myself as one of the privileged people who had Noosa to myself when I was a kid at school. We used to go surfing, but sadly that's no longer the case.
Mm. Probably a cheeky question, and one I probably shouldn't ask, but Kevin Rudd is here a lot. You went to the same school around the same time. You didn't know one another then. Do you catch up with Kevin and
no, I don't.
Shoot the breeze? No.
No, I don't catch up with Kevin.
Mm-hmm. Fair call. So we can look forward to, no doubt, a stellar career, maybe still in public life, certainly not in government, but as part of our social fabric of Queensland and Australia. Wayne Swan, it's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Pleasure to talk to you. I'll see you up at Noosa one day. Okay, all the best.
That's Wayne Swan. He is the federal member for Lilly.